In our Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. We'll read verses 16 through 20 of this passage. This has become known as the Great Commission. In fact, if you have headings in your Bible, that's probably the heading for this passage. We'll read verses 16 through 20 if you want to follow along in your Bibles. We're going to look at the first four steps of discipleship this morning. You may have others, but that's what I've gleaned from this passage. Verse 16 in Matthew 28. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Let's pray together. Father, you've given us this time to worship you, and you've allowed us to carve this period of time out. Lord, as we consider the words that have been written down in this gospel, I pray that we would recognize the mandate that is there, that we would understand its implications for our life, so that we who are disciples of Jesus Christ would not only commit our lives to making those disciples, but also to being growing disciples, taking this as a means by which we can understand you more and grow more in Christ's likeness. In Christ's name, amen. Well, baptism isn't about waiting to the end of your Christian life and then taking the plunge. It's not something that you get around to when you're a mature Christian. It's not something that you experience as you grow older and older and figure, well, maybe it's time for me to get baptized. I've been a Christian for many years. Maybe I should do this. Baptism is really something that young disciples are meant to experience. It's something that God mandates that the church carry out, and the disciples, these 11 disciples in verse 16, are really the core of the church at that time. And Jesus gives this mandate to those disciples, and they are meant to carry it out, and that's now a process that the church has been given to carry out. But baptism is never really meant to be something that you wait until you're really a really good Christian to experience. It's something that you experience as kind of a first step in your journey with Jesus. This is a command that Jesus gives to his disciples as they themselves really are beginning their journey with Christ. They had spent 3.5 years with him. They had learned his ways, learned his methods, learned his character, his nature. But it's still the very beginning of their Christian life. They had not yet received the gift of the Holy Spirit. So a few days later, a few weeks later, they would experience that, and everything would seemingly come together for them, and they would be converted, baptized believers in Jesus Christ. It's the very beginning of their Christian life. When a baby takes their first steps in Christian disciples, when a baby takes their very first steps as a toddler, they're just starting to crawl, they're just kind of pulling themselves up on the furniture, and as they pull themselves up, now they get a little bit more comfortable, now they can kind of let go, and they take their very first steps. What do mom and dad want to do? They want to capture on video, don't they? And as they take those steps, getting closer and closer to mom, then they kind of fall into mom's arms, and mom and dad just erupt in adulation, just praise and glory and honor to this little child who has made it across the living room. And as the child grows up, what do mom and dad want to do? They want to go back and they want to review the tape. They want to look at the video. And they have this kind of weepy nostalgia for how their little one has come such a long way as they've grown up. That's what they want to do, and that's right and proper, appropriate that they would want to do that. Well, it's a good thing that we baptize young believers, because baptism is a point in time. Baptism is a thing that we can experience now, so that in the future, as we see ourselves growing, we can look back, in a sense, we can review the tape in our minds and remember that time that we made that commitment. Remember that time when we have given it out to the world that we are believers and followers of Jesus Christ. But we don't have a record of Jesus' first steps. We don't know how what he did when he was a toddler. But we do have a record of him taking his first few steps in his official ministry capacity as the Messiah, as the Christ. And that's recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 3, where Jesus goes through the waters of baptism. He walks through the Jordan River, and he is greeted on the other side by his Father, the Holy Spirit coming down as a dove. And this is Jesus' first official act as God's Messiah, his first official act as the minister. And through that, he paved the way for his followers to walk in his footsteps. And that's what baptism is. It's just the beginning. It's us following in Jesus' footsteps, starting our life of faith, starting our life of service to Jesus. Well, here in our text this morning, with Jesus' command at the end of his earthly ministry, just before he rises and goes up into heaven, Jesus commands his disciples to make disciples. He gives them this mandate. And in giving them this mandate, as Matthew portrays it here in the end of his gospel, he gives us a picture of what a newly minted disciple looks like. What are the first steps a believer should take? Now, certainly new believers are uniquely gifted, uniquely qualified, uniquely equipped to share the gospel and to make disciples on their own. Their faith is new. Their faith is vibrant. It's exuberant. And that overflow of their exuberance of new faith in Jesus Christ naturally gives itself out to the world to make other disciples. But through this process, through this sequence, we can see a set of steps, a series of steps that new believers take in their pathway, their journey of discipleship with Jesus as they grow. Now, there's certainly things that we can learn here, and hopefully maturing believers have already taken these first four steps, but it's always good to go back to remind us how far we've come, to remind us what we need to continue to do, and to remind us of the faith steps that Jesus has taken with us in that journey. So this morning we're going to look at four steps, or the first four steps of discipleship. The first step is this. It's a step over. It's a step over. This is a step in which we identify as disciples of Jesus Christ. It's a step over. Before you've been justified by faith in Jesus Christ, there's a line that separates you between Christ and yourself. You live in the domain of darkness. Christ lives in the domain of light. Coming to Jesus Christ for the first time, you step over this invisible imaginary line out of darkness into his marvelous light. You become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And you step over that line, as it were. Jesus had 12 disciples that he called apostles. He had more than 12 disciples, really. But he chose 12 of them whom he called apostles. And these were men who were particularly chosen by Jesus, particularly sent out by Jesus. But only 11 of them stepped over that line. And right here in verse 16, the 11 disciples, he doesn't call them apostles. He calls them disciples because they were followers. Judas is gone. Judas has committed suicide. It is now down to 11. These 11 disciples stepped over that line of separation into a life of faith in Jesus Christ. What does he do? He calls these 11 themselves to make disciples. He says, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. It's literally into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. See, before the crucifixion, the disciples could come and go. In fact, there was a time when Jesus had thousands of disciples, thousands of people following him, curious, wondering what he's going to do. But now he's down to a remnant. But even though there were people who left him, those people were still called disciples. You can read John chapter 6, where he had disciples, and after Jesus' controversial teaching about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, what happened to many of those disciples? They left. But they were still called disciples. But there's a line of demarcation, because after Jesus' crucifixion, from that point forward, at no time in the scriptures do you see a disciple being called a disciple who is not a redeemed follower of Jesus Christ. In fact, you look through the book of Acts. There is never a time when there is a quote-unquote disciple named in the book of Acts that is not a saved person. Even Simon the magician in Acts chapter 8 was not called a disciple. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5 were not called disciples. Prior to Christ's crucifixion, all kinds of people were called disciples, but they didn't follow through. After Jesus' crucifixion, the only ones who were ever called disciples were redeemed followers of Jesus Christ. So, the disciples, these 11, were called to make disciples, not just of Jews, but of people from all ethnic backgrounds and languages. He says, of all nations. And what was the means by which they would be identified as a disciple of Jesus? They would be identified by being baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This triune name, this Trinity. The Trinity would forever be their marker. But what is all too common in our world, in our age of consumeristic Christianity, we do have one foot in the kingdom, but we also keep one foot in the world. We kind of straddle that line, don't we? In England, just east of London, there's the Greenwich Observatory. The Greenwich Observatory is that place where the prime meridian is marked out. In fact, it's literally marked out on the ground. It separates the Western Hemisphere from the Eastern Hemisphere. And Greenwich Mean Time is the point that determines time all over the world. Well, what happens when people get there? What do? They straddle the line and they take a picture. I wish I had a picture. I was there 20 years ago. I had a picture. I can't find it. I was in my black leather jacket doing the Rocky pose, straddling the line. I was half in the Western Hemisphere, half in the Eastern Hemisphere. We live that way oftentimes as Christians. One foot in the world, one foot in God's kingdom. Baptism calls us to step over that line so that we are completely, wholeheartedly, fully in God's kingdom. Christ sends us into the world of darkness, but we never leave God's kingdom. Baptism is a step over this line so that we identify fully as a follower of Jesus Christ, as a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's the first step. It's hard to grow, and I would say that it's impossible to grow as a Christian. If you have not made it a point to step across that line into completely into God's kingdom, following his rules and living by his authority. See, so often that's how we live, one foot in the kingdom, one foot in the world. We do our church thing on Sunday, and then from Monday to Saturday, we go and do our world thing, and we separate our faith. Private faith in God's kingdom, public life in the world. And one of the first steps that we need to take is to cross that river and identify, or cross that line and identify fully as a follower of Jesus Christ. When Jesus crossed the River Jordan, when he came out, he was crossing a line. It was a point of no return. And he decided he was never going to go back. This was the beginning of his earthly ministry. And it was a ministry that would take him all the way to the cross and beyond. Have we crossed over that line? Have we stepped over that line so that we are completely in God's kingdom? Or is there some residue of our Christian life still hanging out in the domain of darkness? Well, that's our first step. The second step is a step into, in which we submit to being taught Christ's word. Look at what Jesus says to his disciples in verse 20. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Trinity." Then verse 20, "teaching them to observe all that I have commanded." Notice, following baptism, the disciple is called to be taught. These disciples are called to teach, but we as disciples are called to be taught. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. See, once we have stepped over the line of demarcation, identifying fully as a disciple of Jesus Christ, we do step into a new world. It's a world in which we are shaped by the word of Christ. Now, to be sure, teaching can precede salvation. It should. Teaching should precede baptism. Teaching should be given to everyone. But when we become a follower of Jesus Christ, when we've stepped over that line into God's kingdom, we don't stop being taught. In fact, that's really just the beginning for us. We learn. In fact, Christians really should be lifelong learners. So our second step is a step into. It's a step into God's word, submitting to being taught God's word. In the first century AD, a disciple was considered a follower. But originally the word meant a learner. In fact, literally it means a learner. That's what we are. In fact, in church, we are learners making learners. God called the disciples to make disciples, and he calls the church to make disciples. We are disciples. We're disciples making disciples. We're learners making learners. We're learners baptizing learners. We're learners teaching learners. A baptized Christian will step into God's word and learn the life and teachings of Christ. Why? So that we'll become like Christ. Jesus himself said this in Luke chapter 6, verse 40. "A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher." Teaching makes us like Christ. Maybe you've been coming to this church for many years. I hope you have never stopped learning, because the more you learn, the more you become like Jesus Christ. The more you learn, the more you change. The more you change, the more you grow. And as you grow in your faith, you become more and more like Jesus, and you become better equipped to carry Jesus into the world, that domain of darkness. Well, We learn, we do that by stepping into the teachings and commands of Christ. What are the commands of Christ? Well, it can be expanded to God's complete word, the 66 books of the Bible. But if we just take a snapshot of Jesus' teaching, even just in the book of Matthew, here's a couple of things. Jesus commanded in Matthew 4, follow me. Jesus commanded in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before others. That's a teaching of Christ. Jesus commanded in Matthew 5:44, love your enemies. Jesus commanded in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. Jesus commanded in Matthew 6:34, do not be anxious about tomorrow. And of course, here in Matthew 28, make disciples of all nations. Now, that's just a sampling. There's so much more. And it will take a lifetime for us to learn the teachings of Christ. But one of the first steps we take as disciples is to step into Christ's word and learn to observe everything that he has commanded. We submit to being taught Christ's word. Step number three, it's a step under. We learn to live under the authority of Christ. What does he say here in verse 18? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority, not just some, all. Not just in the church, everywhere. Not just in heaven, all over the earth. Everyone is under Jesus' authority. That doesn't mean everyone submits to his authority. But everyone is under Christ's authority. How sad it is if we confess to be followers of Jesus and yet fail to live under his authority. And I believe you cannot rightly call yourself a disciple if you insist on making up your own rules. We passed a truck down in the Williamstown area that had, it was kind of a modified food truck that had all kinds of names on it, all kinds of Bible verses. It's Yeshua or something like that. Apparently this guy was criticizing Christians for calling Jesus, Jesus. They were criticizing Jesus for calling Jesus Lord. So he built his whole little truck as a movable billboard going from place to place, arguing with people. He's not submitted to the Lord's authority. He's not submitted to the authority of Jesus Christ. He wants to make up his own rules. And how many times do we do that? Well, I don't think I should have to do this. Well, I don't think that that's really what that means. When we get into God's word, we have to submit to Christ's authority. We cannot have our own private interpretations of God's text. We have to have a right and proper interpretation. So our third step is to step under the authority of Christ. And again, this is a lifelong process, but it begins in the early steps of the Christian life. Paul says this. Go ahead, Eleanor. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That is a process that is difficult. It's a process that is lifelong. But we have to spend our life putting the pieces of faith together. And it starts with those first few steps. Living under the authority of Christ, stepping into his word, and stepping over that line of demarcation so that we identify ourselves completely and totally as disciples of Jesus Christ. So often when someone gets in your face, the tendency is to default to self-justification, to default to deflection, defaulting to blame, claiming that you can't talk to me that way, claiming that you got to show me respect. But when we step off our high horse and step under the authority of Christ, we walk a different path so that we can turn the other cheek. We can allow people to criticize us without getting back into their face. We can live a life of humble recognition that Christ has the authority over me. And therefore, I can live under the authority of other people. Step three. Well, step four is a step out. A step out, we become confident in Christ's abiding presence. When Jesus commissions his 11 disciples here, he calls them to step out. Step out in obedience. Step out in faith. Step out to share the gospel so that disciples would be made. He calls them to step out to baptize. He calls them to step out to teach. He calls them to step out to show the world what a true disciple of Christ looks like. Now, that's pretty scary. When you step out your front door, knowing that you have to, that your job, your purpose, your role in life is in your workplace, in your social life, in your recreational time, stepping out your front door, you are called to show the world Jesus Christ. That's pretty scary. Because we don't look like Jesus Christ when we look in the mirror. When we look into God's Word, we see a person who is growing. We see a work in progress. We don't see a person who looks a lot like Jesus Christ. But that's what we're called to do. See, these disciples were called to make disciples. That is impossible. We can't make disciples. But Christ can make disciples through us. And therefore, when he commands us to make disciples, he is telling us that he is working through his authority, working through us to make those disciples, doing something that we can't do. See, it's a scary thing to put yourself out there. When I was baptized 35 years ago, that's me, in the blue shirt, in the middle of that left picture. 35 years ago, we left the worship service and drove out to a boat landing along a muddy, cold, muddy river that was a tributary into the Mississippi River. This was in Missouri. 35 years ago, we went out there, and it was a scary experience. There were fishermen there. We were scaring their fish away. They were hiding their beers because they thought, well, this must be a religious service, so they didn't want to get embarrassed. I don't know why. But it was an intimidating thing to go out there, especially to go out in the middle of that river. Everyone is watching you. Everyone is taking notice of you. Yeah, they don't really look like a Christian to me. Why are they doing this? It's an intimidating thing when people are watching you. The world is watching you. Your family members are watching you. And when I went down into that water professing my faith in Christ and my commitment to follow Jesus wherever he took me, it was intimidating. And I'll be honest with you, from that point on, not a lot changed immediately. I still had a lot of growing to do. In fact, it really wasn't until I was in my 20s that really things started to gel. But I went out, I put myself out there, took a step out in faith, being visible to people. And of course, too often I stumbled, but there I was. And likewise, when we walk out into a world that doesn't serve or worship Christ as King, it's intimidating. We need the confidence that Christ gives by his presence so that we can live according to his kingdom laws, no matter where we go, no matter what ridicule we might receive. Jesus always assures his disciples of his abiding presence. He says this, "Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Do we have that confidence? That assurance that whenever we step out, Jesus is already there. See, we need to become confident in Christ's abiding presence. Notice what God said to Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua was called to step over that Jordan River. He was called to step into the promised land. He was called to step under the law that Moses had given. He was also called to step out in faith and become confident in Christ's abiding presence. See, these are the first steps. You may have some other steps, but these are just the first few steps. And there are many more to come in your discipleship journey. And we need to remind ourselves from time to time that we've taken these steps. Maybe it was years ago, maybe it was just last week. And it's in times like these, when we baptize new believers, that we remind ourselves of the first steps that we've taken. And we recommit to following Jesus ourselves. That we recommit to identifying ourselves as disciples. Maybe we've been living for the last 5 years as stealth disciples. And God's calling us to step out, living according to his teaching, submitting to his authority, and drawing confidence in his abiding presence. See, have you taken these steps? Are you his disciple? We're going to pray now, and as we do, I want you to talk to the Lord. I want you to talk to the Holy Spirit even. Say, Holy Spirit, can you witness, can you testify in my life that I am a disciple? Maybe the Holy Spirit is prompting you to make confession. Maybe the Holy Spirit is prompting you to take a step, one of these four steps that maybe you haven't taken. Maybe the Holy Spirit is prompting you to step out and to make disciples, something that you've been so scared to do all this time.